Hey guys, welcome to the Extroverted Introverts podcast. I'm your host, Ebony, and here's your weekly insight into me being my extremely outgoing yet reserved self as I navigate my way through love, life, and the pursuit of happiness. Week, my favorite things happen to just be soul food, high intensity fitness. I know those two things don't even go hand in hand, but run with me, roll with me. So my mother-in-law is visiting from St. Louis, and she usually visits for about 6 months. Maybe sometimes a little bit shorter, but however, she has come with all the recipes of our ancestors, and it's just thrown down, and I can't get enough of it. Therefore, high-intensity fitness is something that I need to do to, you know, help all of the, you know, hypertension, diabetes, and, you know, glaucoma, whatever the fuck comes with soul food and all of its intensity and badness and deliciousness and deliciosity. I have to do something to offset all that bullshit. So that's where high intensity fitness comes into play. Now my knees have not been the same since last week, Lord Jesus, but it's all worth it in the end. Okay. Additionally, I also want to give out a shout out to Yellowtail. Thank you very much for the Shiraz Cabernet Sauvignon blend. I appreciate you, and God is good. And that's a wrap on my favorite things. I have been putting so many things on my plate that, like, because I'm an overachiever, if I don't execute all of my tasks, I'll get overwhelmed. So if I'm like, if I put 10 things on my plate, if I don't do all 10 within a certain amount of time and only do like 5, I don't count that as good effort. So I'll put so many things on my plate to get accomplished within a certain amount of time frame, like within a year. And if I don't do all of those things, I tend to be super duper hard on myself. And like outside, I'll get feedback and validation. Oh, you're doing great. You're doing these things and stuff like that. But inside, I think because I feel like I'm a certain age, I feel like I'm supposed to be at a certain place. And if what I expect doesn't look like where I am in reality, I think that I'm not being successful. When I had to really sit down and reflect last year and the beginning of this year and say like, hey, you know, that's actually not true, because where you're supposed to be is actually where you are now. What you've been able to accomplish is what you've manifested right now, so therefore you are successful. And it's like defining what success looks like to you. Like, everyone has their own version of success, and if you think that your success is supposed to look like someone else's, then you're not operating in reality, because no one really knows what they're doing in life for real. They have ideas and inspirations and aspirations, but they typically, there is no real set of rules or template to living life. If you put yourself in a box or a bubble and just think that if I do these steps, then I'll achieve these results, then you're going to be sadly mistaken, because I was that person who thought that as long as I, you know, went to school and got a job and da-da-da, then my life will be fulfilled. When along the process of me doing that, things did not work out for me the way I thought that they would, because I'm a planner. I didn't like to go outside the lines too much, because I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I know where I wanted to go with it. And when things did not work out that way, that was like one of the lowest points in my life. That was me actually growing up and coming to terms with, okay, you have to make the most out of your circumstances. If you don't, then you will just get stuck. You'll just get lost into a vicious cycle of people with unfulfilled dreams and unfulfilled hopes, and people who basically are miserable. And it's like, you have to make a responsible choice. Like, do you want to be part of that pack, or do you want to be a part of the circle that of people who actually, you know, got knocked down 9 but still got back up 10? Like, that's just what living life is about. So I was supposed to go to school, to college in Chicago. Things didn't work out. And there was the same year that, like, I had experienced a tragic loss in my life. And I just felt like my world was crashing down upon me. And, like, I started to get a little depressed. I was, like, 18. I started to get a little depressed and thinking that, you know, fuck it. I'm going to just be a part of the cycle. I'm going to just be a part of my situation. I'm going to just look like where I came from, because I tried to fight it, and obviously fighting against it isn't working, so I'll just succumb to it. And it's like, that wasn't really who I was. It wasn't ever really who I was. I'm the type of person, if you tell me no, I need that motivation to show you and to prove you wrong. Like, for a second, I thought that it was looking bleak for me. But then I had a change of mind, and I had a pep talk with a mentor, with, you know, people around me, and they reminded me who the fuck I was, and I had to get back on my shit. And so it took me a while, but that same thing that I needed to, that I wanted to do, although it took me more time than I thought it was going to take, I still was able to achieve that thing. After that amount of time, I was able to get into a field. I wanted to be in fashion design. I created my own lane with that and connected with some people and did some things and found out that that wasn't for me. So what if I had actually gone off to school and, you know, been in art school and things like that, thinking that that's exactly what I wanted to do because I checked all my boxes and was staying inside the lines. But as it turns out, as I was working in it for a certain amount of time, I realized that the actual field of fashion design was in fashion illustration in the fashion and clothing industry was not something that I wanted really to express myself in. I still felt like, you know, it still felt like a job, like a 9-to-5 type of situation. Because I'm naturally a creative, I thought I would have a little bit more autonomy, a little bit more. It just was just as demanding. I'm like, okay, well, it's not the clothing industry that I wanted to be in. It's the fact that I wanted to be able to put my skill set, my logical mixed with my creativity side into something and let it grow. So that was something, I put all those things on my plate because I felt like I needed to look like what success, what the idea of success looked like for me as a young, you know, 18, 19, 20 something year old working in this industry. Oh, you know, it's supposed to look like this. And because my reality did not look like that, I found myself feeling discouraged or defeated and things like that. But then understanding and realizing, having that humility to realize that where I was actually a blessing, because it propelled me and pushed me to another level in my life of understanding and reflecting. And there I also put things on my plate, joining organizations, getting a mentor, starting my own business with my husband. And he put the idea out there, and because I like to execute and, you know, drive things, we work very well together. And he wanted to do something on like a residential, like a, you know, customer to customer level, and I, you know, worked to do that, but I also wanted to do it on a commercial level as well. And so that was something that I put on my plate, researching how to do that, learning how to write contracts, the legality behind it, how to start a business from a risk management standpoint, writing a business plan, things like that. Those were some of the things I put on my plate. And when I felt like it was time and when we were ready for it, I went out and got the contract that I wanted, and it worked out. And, you know, not everything was, you know, peachy keen, and it did not come without its struggles and stuff, because we had to, again, make a change and transition into something else. And that's basically, I'm saying this all to say, like, your version of success does not need to look like, you know, Jane Doe's version of success. You putting all these things on your plate so that you can
become successful, what idea of success are you operating from? Because if it, success can be, what does success mean to you? It can mean so many different things to so many different people. And so maybe you're working and toiling yourself away in the sense that you're putting all these things on your plate for not for your fulfillment, not for your growth, but because you're in some type of, you know, race to execute, to finish, to complete shit just so it can look like what you think it should look like. And a lot of the times, things are not exactly what they seem on the surface for anybody. So just because you see this idea from, you know, whomever on social media or whoever in your life, your boss, because they're at that level and you look at them and you put them on a pedestal as though, you know, oh, they came from this and now they're at this level. Like, you don't really know what it took and how much they had to grow into where they are now. And that is also for you too. Don't put so many things on your plate just out of vanity for rushing, you know, just to rush to get to something. If you're feeling overwhelmed in your situation, take some things off your plate. And I say this because, like, so 2016, I'm just getting started in my career and I had become comfortable in my comfort zone and I was not really growing as a person. And I know that growth does not lie in comfort zones. Progress does not lie, is not made in your comfort zone. And so, again, as an overachiever, I wanted to get outside of my comfort zone to grow on a different level. So I started going to different things, participating in certain organizations, meeting new people, professionally and personally, playing sports, bitch. I don't play sports, but took up tennis. Like, who the fuck takes up tennis? And, you know, just doing things outside of my comfort zone. I actually enjoyed it, even though I lost every single game. And that hurts my competitive heart. But I got lessons from, I got tennis coach and shit. Like, it was super fun just getting outside of my comfort zone. In addition to that, I had come across Shonda Rhimes' book, The Year of Yes. And she was basically the same way. Like, she was used to basically being super routine, super in her comfort zone, super simple to her. And, you know, what she found to be good. As long as she's doing this, she's okay, right? There's nothing, you know, too fantastic or chaotic about it, but it works for her. And it, like, in the book, if you haven't read it, I won't spoil it, but, like, in the book, it was more so, like, she was having a conversation with her sister because she got invited to some type of event or ceremony or photo shoot or something like that. And her sister was, like, basically, like, I don't know why they gave it to you because you won't show your ass up any damn way. And it stopped her in her tracks because she was about to argue it, but then she was like, she's right. Why don't I go to these things? Why don't I do this? And, you know, was it about these things that I just instinctively turned down? And so she was like, you know what, bitch, I'll show you. And so she actually went to the thing. And after that, she kept saying yes to things that she would normally say absolutely not to. And it turned out to be her most powerful, most prominent, most progressive year. And she, you know, she's Shonda Rhimes, who, you know, who herself, even though she was, we see her as the person who created, you know, Scandal and, what is it? It's not General Hospital. ER? And, you know, Private Practice? I think it's Private Practice. Bitch, Scandal is the only show I watched of those things. And so, but we see her as this person in society and entertainment as, you know, a writer and, you know, a woman in power and stuff. But we don't even, we got a little bit of insight in her life that she likes to stay in her comfort zone too. And it took her, Shonda Rhimes, to realize that she has to grow outside of herself in order to become a better version of herself, to get to the next level for herself. And so, like, 2016 was my year of yes. I was just doing it all, sis. Like, if there was an invitation to it, I went. If there was a dinner after work to go to or a happy hour, I was going. If there was a support group for fucking Animals Anonymous, bitch, I was there. like just meeting new people. I tend to be super reserved. I don't like talking to people. I don't like meeting new people because it's work for me. I'm very much in my head, and I tend to overanalyze things. I also like to get to know people before I let them get to know me too. Like, I'll watch and wait and listen before I interject into conversations and volunteer information about myself, because bitch, none of your business is what my face always says, and I need to work on that. I won't. Anyway, so because I was super, you know, even though it was very fun, it was super fulfilling. I did some amazing things. I met some nice people. I had a bunch of great opportunities and things like that, putting myself out there. It was super great, super fun, but I was super exhausted. I was so fucking exhausted. I had a trainer. I took like some type of crazy ass exam that I'm studying for now because I failed it then. I got braces. Again, I took tennis. I took up tennis. Weird as shit. Anyway, so like 2017, I'm like, bitch, fuck that. I am taking a break. And so 2017, I literally slacked the fuck off because I was like putting so many things on my plate. I was saying yes to every fucking thing the year before. 2017, I'm like, no, I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting my ass in the house. Workout where? Tennis who? None of those. And so 2018 comes and I'm like, I slacked off too much. There was no boundaries to the slackerage that I executed, and I need to do better. So 2018, I put that shit in overdrive. Like, throughout that, there was no, like, I guess, boundaries set for balance. I didn't put any time for me to really have, I guess, a realistic opportunity to say, like, okay, what am I doing all this for? What purpose, how is this going to serve me? The things that I'm saying yes to, the things that I'm volunteering myself to, like, I joined a philanthropic organization, and then I got offered a role on the board, and I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Didn't even know what the fuck I was getting myself into, but because I'm super excited about the cause, like, I want to be as close to it as I possibly can, and so it was no question. You know, yeah, I've been here for 2 weeks. Of course I want a membership on the board. I want to, you know, yes, duh. And so I'm like, okay, how is this going to serve me? What am I saying yes to? Maybe I can't even offer them everything that I can offer them because my focus is consistently elsewhere. I got a promotion, you know, at work. I had to, you know, do a little bit more traveling throughout that year than I normally don't necessarily do. Like, all these things in 2018 I was putting on my plate and didn't really do a self-assessment to see, what am I doing this for? Is this going to help me grow? Does this represent something? Is it a vain? Is it a, you know, is this a symbol of vanity? Is there any, you know, what life is this giving to? What is this doing in my life? How is this breathing life into my situation? Or is it taking me away from it? Is it distracting me? Because just because it looked good, just because it sounded good, don't mean it is. Just because, you know, joining an organization or becoming a part of a professional organization or getting that mentor sounds good, does not necessarily mean that it is. Maybe you're not able to put your actual focus onto those things at that moment because you're not in the space to do so. Like, I've been in situations before professionally where I begged and pleaded for opportunities and stuff like that, but because I wasn't in the right mindset and I had so many other things going on, I couldn't give that thing the time and the quality and, you know, everything that it needed for me to really get the best out of the benefit, the relationship, or vice versa, the other person as well. Like, so I kind of, you know, played myself in that position. So it's like, you don't want that to happen. So it's like, now in 2019, I had to do a lot of self-reflection and introspection on the things that I'm putting on to my plate, and even portion controlling that shit, right? So it's like, now I'm taking my time. I'm not trying to execute all of my goals at once, because that, that's a chore. That's not a goal. That's a chore. It's not fun. So I'm taking myself like, okay, this quarter, I want to have done this. The next quarter, I want to have done this, you know, and going about it that way. So right now, one of my goals is to execute the exam that I did not pass in 2016, to pass that successfully within the first quarter. Whether or not that happens, for me, the fact that I was able to put a study group together for it with not just myself, but a few people, and then the fact that I am getting more comfortable in the materials and the time frame that I've been studying for, more way better than where I was back 3 years ago before, when I, you know, just took it on, I guess you could say, a whim. There's so much progress that has been made as I work towards that goal. And like I said before, if I have not said already, like, just because I put 10 things on my plate and I only complete 5, like, I have to start giving myself credit where credit is due. Because I'm much better than where I was 3 years ago now, as I'm preparing for this exam. Again, whether I take it in, you know, this time or later on when the test is offered, I still have made progress and, you know, carved out a little thing for myself and for other people in that same respect. So I have to pat myself on the back for that. Even though that goal has not yet been manifested, I know that it will be, just simply because of the progress that I've been making. And then as far as like my other goal of completing my degree, I have to take classes and things like that to get into the prerequisites and things like that for credit purposes. And so even researching what those classes are and how I can go about executing them and things like that, that's not me saying like, oh, it's too hard, I gotta do all that. It's like, damn, like, I actually had the wherewithal and the resources to actually find out this information prior to having to be told this. So I already know what to expect. It's just a matter of me actually executing it. So it's like, okay, normally I would try everything and do everything at once. I would try and study for the exam thing and go to school and work and have a social life and be a wife and be a mother and have time for myself. You know, so it's like, now I'm taking everything bit by bit. And it's allowing me to appreciate the process and really see where I am in it more and more. I'm expressing gratitude. That makes me fulfilled. That makes me feel happy. Just taking an opportunity to thank God, thank, you know, the universe, for just being where I am. Because it's like, there were days, and I know it's cliche to say, but bitch, if it works, it works. Shit, you can't, you know, get pissed off at consistency. But anyway, I know it's cliche to say, but there were literally days where I prayed for you gotta take that out. There were literally days where I prayed for the shit that I have now. There are literally days where I cried, begged, and pleaded God to give me the opportunity to be where I am now. I did not know how I was going to get there, because I told you, I'm a planner. I'm the type of person that likes to check boxes and like to know all the facts first and then execute. But a lot of these things that a lot of the stuff that I've been able to accomplish, I had no idea how I was going to do it. The good thing is, the way I grew up was, I can be thrown in any situation and I know how to figure shit out just like that. Like, very rarely do I just ultimately fail at things. And I'm not, you know, saying that, like, I make very rarely do I fail at things. It's only out of my own will that I allow myself to fail at things. I don't like to fail. There will be things I don't, you know, tolerate. But a lot of the things that I've been through, that I've been successful at, have been things that have been completely and utterly outside of my comfort zone. Moving to a whole nother city. I didn't want to stay in St. Louis my whole life. I always wanted to travel the world. It's still a goal and an aspiration of mine to touch at least, you know, 20 countries. That's still a big goal of mine, with my family, with my friend, and with my friends. But I didn't know how I was going to do it. I thought it was going to be through one way because I'm a planner. I thought because I check these boxes, you go to a school that's outside of where you're from, then that's how you'll be able to, you know, move it. I didn't think that it would be another situation, you know, X amount of years later that I would actually execute that. What is that? Like, going to, in Orlando, they have this thing called the Dinner Party Project. And I don't even know how I came across it. Maybe I was like researching some things, but it's just like this organization that puts dinner parties together with strangers, and sometimes it's hosted at someone's house or a location, and they will put a whole menu together from drinking from wine and list to cocktail list to coffee to dessert, appetizer, mousse bouche, all of that shit, right? Musics, they will set it up. It looks like almost like a, you know, a wedding. They'll like have place settings, but it's for 8 people and it's super fucking nice. A very unique concept. And the only way you can get invited is if you're on this list, right? So I found this list, and I signed up for it. And at work, I was in this mentor group, and one of my fellow mentees is also an introvert, and so she was on the list too. And so I was like, okay, the next time that they have one for us to get outside of our comfort zone, because I was suggested as well for my mentors to go to one of those dinner party things. It just so happened that the one that did come up was a TEDx Orlando women event, and so I was like, okay, we have to go to this one. So she and I went. And we just so happened to sit at different tables. She sat at the table, like, and this is like women leaders in Orlando or some shit like that. I don't know. But it was super cute, super fun. And we got to listen to TED Talks and have people present, you know, basically TED Talks topics and conversations. And I got to meet some amazing people and just, again, be so far out of my comfort zone. I'm like, no, don't get it twisted. There is a whole extroverted side of me that will, like, in a room where I feel an energy or a vibe or something like that, and I feel like I can be comfortable and be myself, I will be the most outgoing, you know, person in that motherfucking room. I probably get up on stage and start singing. I won't do that. There's a limit. But still, so I was able to network with a few people. Again, I tend to be horrible at networking because I don't, I guess, invest in the contacts that I make, in resources, a lot or as often as I think I should. I think I do all right. But so, with that being said, I was able to meet someone from an organization who pulled me into another organization, and that's how, you know, the, you know, philanthropic thing came about. So if it were not for me pushing myself outside of my comfort zone, I would not be here, you know, in where I am. And that, it makes me happy, to be honest with you. It gets me excited about the next opportunity. And that's one of the reasons why I put so many things on my plate. Because, like, I feel like if I'm in that environment of constantly doing things and, you know, in this space and doing things in that space, I'm going to figure out where I could possibly be next or what my purpose is in certain areas. Because it's all just an opportunity for me to get to know another version or another side of myself. I am Ebony, and I know that I'm good at this thing. I'm good at that thing. I know how to execute this. I'm fun to be around with that. What else is there to me to explore? I've been with me for almost 33 years, child. Next month we'll make 33. And there have been so many ups and downs with myself, with whom I thought I could be or should be, and where I thought I could be and should be, that understanding that my life and the way I've been living it was not about setting so many limitations on myself and then being happy within those limitations. It was when I let up some of those limitations. And so that's when I actually started to live life. I was allowing myself to be, you know, to fuck up. Allowing myself to learn from my mistakes. I felt like if I didn't make mistakes, then I'd be good. And that's not how you live life. You have to do you have to have some shit going on in order to grow from it, you know? So it's like learning how to prioritize things, understanding that everything in life requires balance, showing gratitude for where you are, rethinking what your definition of success is, and where does that lie? Where do those ideals lie? How is it, like, measuring that too? How do you measure your successes? What do you do to celebrate your successes? I have a friend that every time I call her and tell her something, I'm like, girl, guess what? And she'll be like, oh, let's go do this or go. We got to celebrate. Like, she's always, even though I don't think it's a milestone worth celebrating, she'll always be like, oh, we got to go celebrate. I'm like, it's only Monday. Like, she, you know, but she's very insistent on that. And that, you know, I love it. It's actually cute. Like, I'm not used to getting that outside validation too much. I think that it's different and it's good, honestly. And I, you know, I enjoy that aspect of her and that personality because she exposes another thing to me that I can get outside of my head about. Also understanding, like, you don't have to do everything. You're not here to do it all. You know, you don't have to put so much shit on your plate, especially if it's not making you happy. Like, if I'm not saying that you should always be happy in every single thing you do, because there'll be days where, you know, I don't feel like, you know, getting the fuck out of bed, but I know I have to go to work, and I appreciate my job. Like, I really do. And there are certain aspects that I love about it entirely. But there are days where I'm just, and I've gotten so much fulfillment in it as well. But there are some days where I'm just like, oh my motherfucking goodness. Back at it again with the bullshit. Like, I really don't want to be there sometimes. And I just want to go home. Jesus. Anyway, but I still, so I'm not saying that you won't have some adversity, but it's like the good kind of adversity, not the one that is very toxic and, you know, you can't come back from and shit like that. But my lesson and my teachable moment is learning what to put in your plate, what place to spin, and what are you getting from it? What's your end game with this? What's the goal here? Is what I ask about a lot of things. If I see some fuck shit going on or some good shit going on, I'll be like, well, what was the goal here? What was, that's, you know, my goal-oriented side, because what's the intention is basically what I'm asking. What is it? What are you doing? What is this doing for you? Why are you doing that? Is it working for you? If yes, keep it going. Are you happy? No, modify it. Is it working for you? No, what the fuck are you doing it for? Okay. That's all on that. Have a good week, bitches.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week on the Extroverted Introvert podcast. You can find this podcast on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker Radio, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcast. I'd love to hear from you, so make sure you write in, review, subscribe, provide feedback. You can also hit me up at my Gmail at extrovertintrovertpodcast@gmail.com. That's extrovertintrovertpodcast@gmail.com. See you next week. Bye.